Huh? Genesis 12. Starting verse 1 there. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country. Say that right out loud this morning. Get out of your country. From your family. Say that one. Hallelujah. And from your father's house. Get out from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I'll show you. Yeah. And then he says, I will make you a great nation. I'm going to bless you. And I make your name great. And you'll be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you. I'll curse those who curse you. And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. So God, thank you for this time this morning. I'm going to ask you to minister to hearts here. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let's close for prayer. Get out. Get out of your country. You know, we like to live our lives in a very steady, calculated manner. We really do. And the more steady and the more calculated, the better. But see, discipleship has some very important components to it that I think many believers miss. And in the calculations, you know, in our work that we do to plan out our lives, we often plan God right out of our life. When I was in college for a brief time, I took a class called Matrices, Linear Algebra. Oh, God. Because I needed another math class for a business thing. And I had taken Algebra 1, Algebra 2, Geometry, and I didn't want to do physics for obvious reasons. My height. And so I took linear mathematics, and the teacher was a Russian guy, and he looked like a very heavy Albert Einstein. His shirt was always half untucked. He had wild hair, but the guy was obviously like a mad scientist genius. He was just one of the smartest people on the planet. And so he get, and by the way, linear mathematics and matrices algebra involve taking very complex word problems and creating algebraic expressions. That part of the class I got right, the definition. But that's about as far as it got. There was one problem that they gave in a class, that he produced in a class, that involved 12 lawyers, 50 settlements, 50 people, and they all got a percentage of the settlement based on each one of the lawsuits and how they went and so on and so forth. And this was a 5 paragraphs, and you had to create the algebraic expression for each one of the lawyers, each one of the recipients of the settlement, and so on and so forth. So I began to work on this project. After 10 minutes of hard work, I had given up completely. No, I worked on it for a while, a couple days, and I remember I had another classroom in that wing of Holyoke Community College, and I walked up and I saw the professor and I said, before I get too far down the road here, can I show you what I've started on this thing? He said, yes, Mr. Graziano, come in and sit down. So I sat down and I showed him, and he said, you are not even remotely close. His exact words. You must throw away all your calculations and begin again. Start with this. And he gave me the first line. And then he explained the line. And I thought, God, the way he explained that, oh. I still goofed the whole thing up. But there are two things he said to me. He said, you are not even remotely close. And I think about our calculations in life, and oftentimes we are not even remotely close. The second thing he said was, I have to throw away all my calculations. And it's a scary thing when you have to do that because you've been working on your calculations. You've been trying to figure out your life and where you want to go and what you want to do. Abram is being told, leave. Get out of your country. Leave your family. Leave your father's house. By the way, Terran was an idolatrous. So it's a good thing that he left. But God didn't say, here's the map. Go down the road, take a left. You're going to go 40 miles that way, and there's your land. No, he said, you're just going to go. He didn't say go east. He didn't say go west. He didn't say north. He didn't say south. He just said go. Because the most important part of this story is not where Abraham ended up, but the fact that he listened to God and went. See, we get it backwards. We think our calculations have to be right before we make a decision. God just wants simple obedience from us. Just simple obedience. This is why God called Abraham the father of our faith. Because this is the beauty of faith. The cross is the beauty of our faith. And the cross is that point in my life where I'm ready to discard my calculations for God's word. I'm ready to discard my plans for God's plan. I'm ready to lay aside my agenda for a higher agenda. I'm able to lay aside my perspective for a divine alternative that God communicates. The cross comes into a situation and forces me into faith. The cross comes into the situation and forces me into faith. So I learn about God, and I learn about faith in Romans 10:17, by hearing, right? Faith comes by hearing, hearing the word of God. I got that. But it doesn't mean the end of faith is hearing. The whole matter is hearing. No. Because James said, what about hearing? He said, don't be a hearer only, but a what? A doer. So hearing God's word without doing is really like looking at a picture of dinner when you're hungry. Because I won't experience what God wants me to experience from the word if I don't take action on it. Luther said this. He said, discipleship is never limited to what you comprehend. It must transcend comprehension. It takes me into the unknown. God drawing his people out into the water. That beautiful picture of it in Ezekiel, first the ankles, then the knees, then the loins, and then up over the head. Where now the river takes you wherever it's going to go. But I've got to put my foot in the water. The first step in. And then gradually God teaches me how to move me down the river. In Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, God communicates this truth. My thoughts are not yours. Nor are my ways your ways. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. Think of the most brilliant mind in the world. He's a spiritual idiot. Think of the smartest people you know, the brightest and best. They don't have God's thoughts. There's a verse we're going to read in Jeremiah that really describes it quite beautifully. But God is saying here, my comprehension transcends yours. Abraham went out not knowing where he was going. That's the way of the cross. And the cross is connected to faith through obedience. I won't experience anything that God wants me to experience until I learn to do this. And in Abram's life, it goes like this. Abraham would not experience the new life until he left the old life behind. You can't keep living your life in a hybrid of the old and new. You can't keep living your life the old way, expecting to learn new things about God. You can't keep hanging around the same people that aren't edifying, that aren't spiritual, that aren't wise, and expect to grow in Christ, and expect to experience the growth of love, of peace, of mercy, of grace, of personal faith. I've got to let go of the old. I've got to leave the old to experience the new. And boy, that's a fight. I know a lot of men, that's their biggest fight. Leaving the old way, leaving the old independent me. You cannot find it yourself, this new way. So you've got to let God lead you to it as if you were a blind man. Did you hear what I just said? As though you are a blind man. You have to let God lead you as though you were a blind man. God tries to lead me as though I'm a blind man. I got one eye open. My cane out there. I'm like, where are you taking me, God? Got my seeing eye dog with me. I want to know where I'm going. I want to know everything. I want to have a little bit of control here. And I says, no, it's not going to work. You want to live your life that way with one eye open, you won't experience what God wants you to experience. We discover who we were created to be by following Christ into the unknown. Did you hear what I just said? It's one of the most profound things that you're ever going to hear. You'll never experience who Jesus Christ created you to be unless you follow him into the unknown. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are his workmanship created by Christ Jesus for good works. What good works? We don't know what they are. We've got to follow him into the unknown. You may have to follow him into the foreign field. You may have to follow him into a business venture. You may have to follow him into a relationship. You may have to follow him into something. But I want to challenge you this morning with this. Many people have been challenged by God to try things that fear has paralyzed them from trying, from doing things that you know God would want you to do, and going to a place that you're a little bit unsteady and a little bit unsure, and your calculations don't quite work, but God wants you to follow him into that place. I'm not talking about recklessness, because there are biblical principles by which I hear God's word, I heed God's wisdom, I heed God's counsel, I heed God's leaders in my life. So there's some guardrails for this. But God can't steer a parked car. You've got to get moving. You've got to try some things. You've got to take some risks. If you're ever going to discover who you were created to be in Christ, you're going to have to do some things that make you uncomfortable. You're going to have to go to some places you don't want to go, do some things you don't want to do, be with people you don't necessarily want to be with, and try some things that you're scared to death to try. Because I've got to step out on the water like Peter did. I'm nice and safe in this boat on Peter's lake, right? I lived there, worked there all my life. And now somebody says, step out on this water. What? I know water. You can't walk on water. But see, Jesus drew this faith out of Peter. And he stepped on that water. And by George, he walked on that water for a couple of steps anyway. More than any of us, I would imagine. But you're going to have to try some things. You need to take some risks and try some things. You'll never experience who you're supposed to be. And you know what? I think there's a lot of people that are miserable. They're trying to find themselves and figure out, well, who they are. Who am I? What am I supposed to be? Well, if you would follow Christ into the unknown, you'll discover it. See, that's this paradox. To know, I got to go into the unknown. To experience a great life, I've got to leave one behind. I never wanted to move here. I never wanted to preach. Never certainly didn't want to do bus ministry, a bunch of loud, smelly kids. Go to a nursing home. I don't do any of that stuff. But I would never have discovered what I was supposed to do if I didn't try some things I didn't want to. See, you want to do what you want to do, and that's your problem. You want to do what you think you can do, and that's your limitation. God wants you to do what you don't think you can do. God wants you to try what you don't want to try. God wants you to serve with people you don't necessarily want to serve with, so you can discover a love that transcends personality. To go beyond your natural you, and find this higher, wonderful calling into the unknown where you'll discover your life as it should be lived. Listen, I'm a little Italian guy from Eastern Mass, Western Mass. I don't want to go to Africa. Who wants to go to Africa? Africa, bugs, sand, dirt, heat, constant, vicious heat. Look at Africa. Why would anybody in their right mind leave a nice air conditioner? Go to Africa. Take these drugs you got to take to go. They make you out of your mind. Mefloquine I was taking. Make you hallucinate. And you think to yourself, well, I guess that's all God wanted me to do in Africa. I came home. Next year, God says, hey, go back. Josephus called me. Can you come? I don't want to go back. I don't want to take those drugs. I was scared to death. Take those pills again. Sit on an airplane for god-awful hours. Jeremiah 10:23. I'd like everybody to just read this and believe it this morning. Believe the truth of this passage. Believe, listen. With all your heart this morning, you need to embrace the reality of the next thing you're going to read. It's in Jeremiah 10:23. Look right up here. Everybody, look up here. Look, 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 look up here. Look, look. Okay. Everybody look. This next passage you're going to read is the absolute reality You've got to embrace it or you're going to be miserable the rest of your life. This is one of the most important things you're ever going to read in the Bible. Here it is. O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. Look at the next part. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. The sooner we embrace the reality of this verse, the happier your life is going to be. When you finally get it, that you should not be driving. You know, I know a lot of people I could say that to. You should not. I don't know why they gave you a license. You should not be driving, Harry. I mean, just you shouldn't be. I don't know. It's amazing. It is not in man to direct his own steps. As a matter of fact, the Bible says the way that seems right to a man, where does it lead? Death. Hey, your best plans apart from God are deadly. The best figuring, the best calculations, you leave God out of the equation, death. Broken relationships, broken friendships, wreckage. A life of wreckage. A life of wreckage. That's man without God. That's a woman making decisions apart from God. And I'm not talking about that nice, safe Christianity that never takes any risks. Because that's not real Christianity. If there's no cross, if it's a crossless Christianity, you might as well have a bloodless cross too. If there's no cross, meaning no being drawn into the unknown. Here's what it is. It's the it's almost like this. I'm trying to see how I want to say this. It's the unable being drawn into the unknown to do the impossible. It's the unable getting drawn into the unknown to do the impossible. That's faith. That's our life. That's where you discover who you are. That's where you'll be happy. That's where you'll have pleasure. That's where you'll have peace. It's there. It's that place. Well, I'm not ready. Okay? If not now, when? When is anybody ever ready to step into faith? What do you mean? You wanna have the faith to step into what you're going to receive from God before you get there? I don't understand what any of that would mean. It's not in me to figure it out. His ways are higher than my ways. His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. The way of man is not in himself. A man can't direct his own steps. So here comes the Holy Spirit. Here comes the Word of God. And he says, I want you to, some simple things, for example. I want you to be generous. I'm uncomfortable being generous. What about me and my stuff? I put that away from me. For my stuff. You know, we're thinking about faith promise when we did the faith promise. Like, you know, for some people, stepping into the unknown is to start supporting world missions with money that you'd like to use on your own stuff. You know? Hey, we can continue to raise a few thousand dollars a quarter without anybody really missing anything. Or we could make a drastic impact on Ghana, historical impact on Ghana, if we would step into the unknown. If we'd let God draw us beyond just what a little table scraps we can come up with. You know, I love when the pregnancy ministry happens and we get those little baby bottles. But you know what goes in that? Just spare change. And a lot of you write a check, put it in there too. You know, How about maybe there's something that I want that I could go without? It's not coffee. The world would be a miserable place if I stopped drinking coffee, let me tell you right now. No, but hey, maybe that is for somebody. You know? I mean, what if I told everybody, listen, let's all stop drinking coffee, Casey'd like fall out of her chair. Mm-hmm. But you know what? If God did that, he'd find another way to bless her. Because God's bigger than any of that. That's the point. God was bigger than Abraham's country, than Abram's father, than Abram's house. He was bigger than all that. Will God ever lead us into trouble? Absolutely. Yeah. So in Mark, I want to have you turn to Mark 4. Jesus says, all right, get in the boat. We're going across the other side. What was in the middle of the lake there? A massive storm. So here's the believer says, God, I trusted you, but then the storm came up. I must not have heard you. Guy says, well, I thought the Lord led me to lead this woman, but it's been tough. Maybe I married the wrong woman. I met this guy, was at an insurance meeting. I says, why is your wedding ring on your right hand? He said, I married the wrong woman. I know. That's two. That's two. Yeah. But see, when things get difficult, that's not a measure of whether or not you heard from God. The difficulty could be confirmation that you heard from God. Maybe we shouldn't have gone. Maybe we shouldn't go. Maybe I shouldn't have done that. That's not the measure that we do things. But, you know, God has a history of asking people to do nutty things. Doesn't he? Hey, Noah. Right? David, get 5 rocks. I got something I need you to do. There wasn't a single person in all of Israel. David shows up, he says, there wasn't, not one person here was willing to take a risk. Not one single person would trust God and take a risk and defend Israel's name, the God of heaven. That was the condition. Israel had been lulled to sleep during that time period by Saul's poor leadership. Saul was a naturally minded man. And he led with a natural mindset and did things he thought was right in his own eyes all the time. And that affected the whole nation of Israel, where they became a group of people that wouldn't take a risk. I give you the American church in 2020. Lulled to sleep by leadership. Lulled to sleep by leaders who don't say, take a risk. Let's try something for God. You know what? I will continue to try things that are beyond my ability, and I don't care if I fall flat on my face. I'd rather fall flat on my face and be thought a failure than try nothing and be considered a sleeper. All these people in the Bible that you heard them do things like, okay, go into enemy territory and rebuild the wall that the enemy just broke down. Okay. So God's got Nehemiah for that. And then Zerubbabel, right? And Ezra in between to go speak, keeping encouraging people to keep building and keep going, even though the enemy was right there. But this story of Abram is absolutely amazing. And you know what? Abraham, this isn't the first time Abraham listened to God like that. There was a point where God said to Abram, you know that son I gave you? Bring him up on the mountain. We have something we need to do. See, but Abram at that point understood sacrifice. And he understood faith. He also understood the gospel. Because the Bible said when Abraham looked into the stars of heaven, he believed God and it was counted for him as righteousness. So Abraham knew God. He also knew the stories of the skins in the garden and of the sacrifice of Abel, the animal sacrifice. So he knew that. That's why when he went up on the mountain, he said this. He said, God will provide a lamb. He knew he wasn't going to have to kill his son. Why do you think he brought wood up there? You think he was going to cook his son after he killed him? No. He knew God was going to give a lamb. He was ready to cook. He was preparing for the barbecue that always followed those sacrifices. See, he knew God's promise. He had grown, and he knew, you know what? There was a time where God called me into the unknown, and I followed him, and he gave me the son, and he blessed me. And everybody that's blessed me has been blessed. And everybody that's cursed me has been cursed. God kept his word. So now when God can say to him, I want you to do this. I want you to make this sacrifice. He knew. He knew the faithfulness of God. Like very few people will ever know the faithfulness of God. But until the unable can be drawn into the unknown, you'll never experience the impossible. We've got to let God take us there. He'd like to. He wants to. It's not comfortable. It's not always fun. But in the end, as most decisions are, in the end, there's great joy. And there's a great growth in the end by following Christ through the cross, where he contradicts our thinking. He contradicts our presuppositions. He looks at our calculations and says, this is not even remotely close. And then we say, okay, I'll do it your way. And then we go. And when we go, we find him there. And we learn something about Jesus Christ we would have never known before. The treasures of heaven are not discovered without digging. And we dig for them by letting God take us into these places. Father, we want to ask you to help us, Lord, to understand these things. To be able to discern when, in fact, you're calling us into the unknown versus when it's our flesh just trying to be independent again. But we trust you and we know that you have a track record of asking weak people to do impossible things. The entire Bible is loaded with weak men and women who did miraculous things because they allowed you to draw them into the unknown, to take them into places they didn't naturally want to go, to people they didn't really care to be with, to do things they had no idea how to do. But you led them one step at a time, as you do with each one of us. So we pray, Father, you would help us to go to these places and find things about ourselves and about you that we would only discover there. Bless our day today, Father. Thank you for this incredible group of people, this family that's been so faithful and consistent this year, that has been relentless in their walk, in their faith, faithful in their giving, concerned and compassionate towards one another. What a great church family this is. I pray, Father, you would bless them beyond their wildest dreams. Give us a great Sunday and minister to us throughout this coming week. In Christ's name, amen.